When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for finding us on one of the various podcast apps, whether it's Spotify, Podbean, iTunes. Been having some difficulty with some of late, so if you struggle with one, certainly download us on another. Also, make sure you check us out on Dash Radio. We're there every day at 7 p.m. Download the Dash Radio app for free and search for Nothing But the Net, the Nothing But Net channel. Also, fivereasonsports.com. As we speak, Brady Hawk is putting up his latest takeaways, but we got more than that. Austin Robillard on Inter Miami, David Fernandez on the Marlins, and more. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. You got to check out bestever.com. Make sure you do it now. They got the NFL stuff on there. It's actually bstevr.com. bstevr.com. This is a new sports simulator that is partnered with the Five Reasons Sports Network. They run all kinds of simulations there, and you can do it too. Right now, again, they're doing all the NFL ones. We just actually ran a simulation. What if Ryan Fitzpatrick had been with the Patriots last year instead of with the Dolphins, because he's an option to join the Patriots this year? You can simulate anything. You can simulate the 72 Dolphins against the 80s 49ers teams. You could simulate what would have happened if Tom Brady had been with Kansas City in the Super Bowl and Mahomes had been with Tampa. Just like I said, just about anything you can do there, and it's free. Just sign up, play, and settle arguments. And you're going to be able to do this with the NBA as well, which you know is going to be a lot of fun. And we're going to run those simulations on our YouTube channel, talk about them on the podcast, and do them on the website. So just go sign up today. Again, it's bstevr.com. Nobody else is doing this. They've partnered with Five Reasons Sports. Definitely something that you should check out. And now, tonight's episode.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
On the floor.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily show on the Miami Heat and the NBA featuring Ethan Skolnick with Alex Toledo and Greg Sylvander, part of the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, Ethan Skolnick back on Five on the Floor. We come to you just about the time that the buzzer is going to sound. The Miami Heat with a big win tonight, 116 to 108. Yes, they just barely went over, so my bookie play didn't play out. But 116 to 108 tonight, they do it with a great second quarter tonight, 34-21 in the second quarter. We're able to hold on in the second half. Toronto tied the game in the third quarter. Miami pulled away again. The big stories tonight, there are a bunch of them, okay? Jimmy Butler tonight, 27, 8, and 10 with 3 steals and just 2 turnovers. Bam Adebayo, 19, 12, and 4 with a steal and a block. Duncan Robinson made 4 out of 9 threes, 17 points. Goran Dragic, in his return, didn't shoot particularly well, but did score 15 with 3 assists. They got 12 points from Iguodala off the bench, 11 points from Gabe Vincent off the bench. Try to ignore the 0 for 5 from Kelly Olynyk from three, but Kendrick Nunn with 7 assists. So contributions up and down the roster. They overcame the barrage from Lowry and Van Vliet. Van Vliet with 24. Lowry also with 24, plus 7 and 8 in his return to the Raptors. A little bit of an audition for the Heat there. That's the way somebody put it to me tonight. But here's the basic theme. To me, there are two themes tonight, guys. Okay. And I got Alex Toledo, tonight's floor plan. Alex Toledo, can follow him at Tropical Blanket, and Greg Sylvander, you can follow him at Greg Sylvander. To me, there's really two themes tonight. The first theme is Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo made it known to people around them. I heard about this a lot over the past 24 hours that they were pissed off about the Heat not having an all-star. We talked about the possible benefit of this. Tonight, they both played like all-stars. The second thing here, and I think this is the bigger theme going forward, the Miami Heat, who are now, by the way, tied with the Boston Celtics in the standings, the Miami Heat can become the team that nobody else wants to play. And for me, over the last, and the schedule just came out today, we talked about it on our YouTube feed, they got 41 games left after tonight. They can become the team that nobody wants to deal with the rest of the season. When they got their two all-stars playing like this, they've got Goran Dragic scoring the way he did. No Tyler Hero tonight, but they got enough from everybody else. Greg, that's where I start tonight.
Yeah, I mean, this is the team finally getting back to an identity. And that is one of better defense, of taking care of the ball movement. I mean, when you talk about 31 assists on 37 made field goals, that's exactly what you're looking for from the Heat. So they're starting to get to some of the hallmark stuff that you want to see from a Miami Heat offense and defense. To withstand that barrage of three-point shooting, 20 of 44, Toronto was 40, almost 46%. Those guys were unconscious from three. To survive that kind of thing, that was what earlier this season, if a team shot like that, the Heat just looked dejected. They had no answers. And this was a team that found ways to combat that. And really, to me, even throughout the ebbs and flows of the game, when Toronto made it closer, I felt like the Heat was in control from almost start to finish. That's the vibe that I got as I watched. And that's not something that I felt a lot this season. So that tells me that the team's heading in the right direction.
Alex, they gave up a ton of threes, obviously, and that's been a problem this season. But I still feel like they played an excellent defensive game, especially when they had to. They had ball pressure when they needed to have it. They forced turnovers when they needed to force them. And then they looked more comfortable in transition offensively than I've seen them the entire season. So I thought on both ends, they haven't had a whole bunch of games where they put it together on both ends against a good team. I felt like they did that tonight.
Completely agree with both of you guys and your sentiments that you're talking about. Like, I was just absolutely impressed and frankly confident in them throughout the game. Like, it really felt like they were in control. They weren't really sweating what the Raptors were doing. Even, I mean, like Leif said, they really survived that 9 three-pointer outburst that the Raptors had in the first quarter, which was ridiculous. And you see, this is going to be a constant theme, obviously, and it has been for the Heat for the past year, the variance in three-point shooting, right? And their scheme being one that allows a lot of them. So you get those first quarters, and then, you know, you regress to the mean. And I think it's less about the scheme and more about how you execute. And tonight they looked extremely decisive on both ends of the floor when executing that scheme. And then on offense, like you said, you know, being aggressive, attacking the basket, and in transition, like, we haven't really seen that part from them this year. And no, they were just punishing mismatches. Like, I think we've been clamoring them for, I mean, to do, like, the Raptors played small for most of the game. And then at the end of the game, they were deploying lineups where they didn't even have Siakam out there and were going extra small. And the Heat, frankly, punished them for it. And they really haven't done, like, too much of that this year. They've been getting better and better and better. And this is probably the best I felt about the team in a while. I think that, you know, those Warriors and Clippers losses had me in a dark place with this team. But it felt good seeing them beat up on a good team. I still think the Raptors are good and doing it on both ends of the floor.
You know, the thing about it, they looked to me like a team that had had a number of practices, and they hadn't, okay? But Eric Spoelstra teams sometimes look different after a series of practices, which is something they haven't had a chance to do this season. But I do feel like what we saw was a little bit of the residual effect of them spending so much time together on the road. Like, they looked more connected than they looked before, right? And Spoelstra spoke about that. But the connection, like, when we talk about chemistry, it's not so much about guys going to dinner together. They can't even do that this year. It's just more so, it manifests itself in kind of the way that they read each other on the floor, the way that they help each other, the way that they find each other, and the way that they share the ball. And they were doing that tonight consistently. And again, in transition, which is not something we've seen a lot, this year. They're not one of the better teams in the league in transition, but sometimes you have to play that way against Toronto because of Toronto's speed, that they're going to force you to play that way at times. The other thing about it, and look, I don't want to get too carried away again. They're still an under 500 team, okay? But I think what you saw tonight is, even as well as Kyle Lowry played and as well as Van Vliet played, the Miami Heat most nights have a chance to have the two best players on the floor against most teams. And when they assert themselves, it's not so, look, the numbers tonight weren't that far off from their averages. They were down on the turnovers from where they usually are. I mean, they were efficient. The rebounds, the blocks, the steals, everything. Okay, Jimmy was elite defensively, as was Bam. But to me, it's they knew when to assert themselves. I mean, whether it was the Bam spin move on Siakam, the drop step for the dunk later on, and then Jimmy, the threes. You know, it's funny. Greg, you and I talked about this the other night, that video that was circulating on Twitter about him getting arc. And I was talking to somebody tonight about this, who's always pushing him to shoot with more arc, to pretend that there's a defender coming out on him. He shot those first two threes with arc, and then he did have a defender jumping out on him in the third one and shot it over him and looked confident doing it, where like you felt better, like Olynyk drove and dished it out to Jimmy for a three. And I'm like, okay, that's the way it should go.
Yeah. He looked smooth. He looked like he was feeling himself from three. And that's the kind of Jimmy Butler that you want to see more and more of. And I think you're right. Like to see Jimmy and Bam play essentially to their averages, what you're starting to see is like with Dragic back in the lineup, that is such a huge lift. Even though he was inefficient, just having his ability to create, to get to the free throw line. Andre Iguodala had a huge game. And this is another thing when we talk about the team looking more connected. If you look at the nine guys who played, I think it's probably safe to assume that if Tyler Hero was active or was available, he would have subbed in for Gabe Vincent. Mm-hmm. Spo's landed on his nine guys. So that that's clear. And so that I think that also leans into the connected nature of the guys that are on the court.
Well, the difference is right. So he landed on his nine guys because Bradley's gone out, right? Like he had landed on his nine guys before the COVID thing and Bradley getting hurt. When none was not part of the rotation, when Bradley was coming off the bench with, you know, with Precious and with Iguodala, right, and with Dragic, and you had, because he put Olynyk in the starting lineup and he had Hero as a starter. Now you're right. Okay. Vincent took the Hero minutes tonight and actually did something with them really for the first time. Okay. You know, Vincent always competes defensively. Tonight he actually made some shots. And so that helped a lot. But yes, Hero's going to take his minutes. And you see Kendrick looks much more comfortable, Alex, as a distributor. And I think this gets to what Greg's talking about here. And I think why Jimmy was able to pick his spot so well today is because he knows now, A, he's got Goran. So there's portions of the game he can just turn over to Goran. Okay, that Dragic is going to handle that. And Jimmy trusts him. But there's a little more trust with Kendrick now, too. So you actually kind of do have two point guards, whereas a little while ago, it looked like they had none and Jimmy and Bam had to do all of it.
Yeah, no, I agree. And look, I was very skeptical on this podcast when this trend with Kendrick Nunn first started happening, when it was more than just about his shot coming back, which I think we all knew was going to happen. That's what he's been, is a good shot maker in the league. And we've always been down on him for the rest of his game. And I think he's made improvements in every single aspect that we've kind of honed in on. Like, I think he's always tried on defense. He's always competed. But to me, like, he just did a much better job of staying connected on defense and staying on to guys and going around screens and things that he struggled with in the past. I'm not saying he's a good defender, but when he's not constantly getting beat and making other guys have to help.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know, which opens up 3-point opportunities, cuts, et cetera. I mean, it just makes it so much easier for the rest of the team and Jimmy and Bam to not have to, you know, fix a bunch of holes. I think like Kelly and Duncan did really good on defense too. Like they were very connected. And, you know, it's going back to what we were talking about before, but I just thought like, especially that starting lineup just had an incredible effort on both ends. Kendrick Nunn, the biggest improvement has been the playmaking. And I'm not saying, you know, he's Goran Dragic as a playmaker yet, but he can, they're using him in the same sets that they were using Goran. Well, they'll have, you know, they'll have him come off a screen, Bam rolls, and Kelly pops to the three. And he's just looking more confident in making those reads. He doesn't hesitate. And, you know, like, that's what they need. As long as he's doing the right thing, not doing too much, like, he's been a positive starter for them.
You go back to the bubble last year. I was told a story. I don't know if I've told this one on the pod. Kendrick came out of a timeout and forgot a set. And Eric basically told people around him, I'm not playing him anymore. That's where this thing was in the bubble last year. That's where Kendrick was. And now you see the trust level where he's getting 30 plus minutes a night. And, you know, even on a night where he was not efficient as a scorer, not as efficient as he was, he made a positive impact. So they got positive impacts tonight against a good team. That's a good team, okay? Regardless of what their record was earlier in the year, they've played much better. Lowry fit back in seamlessly today. They found something by going small, not playing their bigs as much, other than Boucher. Obviously, they're starting Siakam now at the five. You know, so, you know, Aaron Baines is not playing as much. They cut Alex Len. That's a good team. I think, honestly, Greg, that, and we'll talk about this more, I think that's a potential 4-5 matchup, honestly. Like, I the way Boston's playing right now, and I don't really know if I trust Indiana, that could be the matchup in the playoffs. Like, that would not surprise me at all. And to see, again, Miami in that matchup had the Kyle was great tonight, okay? But in terms of you can make the argument the Heat had the best two players. And as long as that's the case, you're going to favor them in that particular series, especially, Greg, because we don't even know that Kyle's going to finish the season. Yeah,
no. So there's a couple things here. One is that when you look at the entire pack of teams that Miami will be lumped in together with at the 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, like all those teams in any playoff series, in any play-in tournament, you're right. Like, Jimmy and Bam have, as a duo, they're going to be able to impose their will in ways that some of those other teams just don't have that kind of ammunition. But this also points to something else. And it's something that you tweeted mid-game, Ethan, and you talked about the Heat becoming a team nobody wants to play. This all the more, to me, signals that they need to be more aggressive at the deadline in finding a move that will make this just elevate just slightly. I don't know that we necessarily need to see the big move we were all hoping for now, the way that things are rounding out, but that's the next.
All right. Well, we're going to get to that after the break, because I do want to touch on that, because now we've gone to a different place where we felt like they needed to blow the thing up or at least make a significant tweak. And now it's, do you really want to mess with it? Which is a totally other conversation. So we're going to get into that briefly here at the end of the pod. Before we do, I want to tell you about another great sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network. And that's our guy, Mark, over at U-Brake Wheel Fix, which is a wheel repair and refinishing company located right there in North Miami with 15 years of experience. They got one of my favorite Instagram accounts, so make sure you check it out. Again, it's U-Brake Wheel Fix. You can check out everything that they do there. I feel like Mark uses IG more than I do. They fix bent or cracked wheels damaged on the streets of South Florida. They got fast turnaround times on most repairs. They even offer the loaner wheels while they fix or refinish the wheels, so you can keep your car on the road without interruption. If your wheels are faded or peeling, U-Brake Wheel Fix offers complete refinishing back to factory standards. If you're just bored with the look of your wheels, U-Brake Wheel Fix offers over 5,000 finishes. Yes, including the vice colors. I don't know if they're going to have these new Heat colors on the jerseys. We're not going to talk about those tonight because they're awful. But anyway, the vice is fine. To customize the look of your wheels, don't spend money on new wheels when you can renew them at U-Brake Wheel Fix. They offer a full line of custom wheels and tires for every vehicle application. So call them at 305-748 305-748-0112. That's 305-748-0112. Or again, check them out at ubrakewheelfix.com. And as with many of our local sponsors, we've got a promotion there. All you got to do is mention Five Reasons Sports. When you call, you receive 15% off anything you do there, repair, refinishing, anything. So 305-748-0112. Let's get to Greg's point here, Alex. Let's dive into this a little bit. We'll do more of this. I'm sure Clutch Corner is probably going to touch on this on Thursday night on the YouTube channel as well. I mean, we've talked about tweaking. We've talked about blowing it up. I don't think that blowing it up is necessary right now when you're kind of streaking for the fourth or fifth seed in the East. But one of the things we've talked about is trading a Kendrick Nunn or trading an Andre Iguodala or trading a Kelly Olynyk, who we do have to acknowledge is, I think, 2 for his last 27 from three, although they seem to play well when he's out there. But do you make a move of any kind now, if this team is playing well?
Yeah. I can't just, go from one end of the spectrum to the other like that quickly. Even though I did say earlier in the pod that I just don't feel as bad about them as I did before. But still, like, I just think this team is one that could use a trade. And we talked about last week, like, favoring a guy like a Levine or another big-name player like that as a priority. But if you're just talking about, trading for a four or trading for a couple of guys who can really fill out the rotation, like, I still think that's a smart idea if it's the right trade. Like, I don't think you force something. And I'm still somebody who is still hesitant to trade a lot of their core guys. I'm not looking to just trade guys. I would like to add to their core. I think that's kind of where I look at it, like adding some of these fours that we talked about to their existing core without having to trade away from them. And I know that sounds ideal and maybe naive, but that's where I'm at with this team. So maybe I'm not that far off from you.
Greg, what do you think?
No, see, I'm kind of with Alex there, is that we can't get carried away and we can't 1 minute want wholesale changes and the next minute say everybody needs to stay, even though I know that is like the fans' tendency. And even, to us in terms of talking points, we can be up and down like that. But I think that you've arrived at a place where whether it be a trade of some kind, like this is why you aligned all the contracts like Myers Leonard and not Goran Dragic for trade purposes, but why it was aligned the way it was, the way Mo Harkless's contract was designed, the way that you have Kelly Olynyk as an expiring, Andre Iguodala, the way his contract extension was designed. You have all these pieces so that you could craft the type of trade to make to improve without gutting the core, to Alex's point. And then this is the other thing. Every time I start to tap on the shoulders of some of my Heat sources, I start to hear more and more that it's the buyout market that we should watch. Bobby Marks kind of indicated that again on our episode recently too. So that could be the other avenue that they make the addition.
I mean, if you look at a guy, someone we've talked about a lot, but probably should do more on him because he's going to be free here soon. You look at a guy like Boogie Cousins and you can see a potential short minute role for him in a game like tonight, even though this is a team, again, in Toronto that went smaller. I do think that there are certain circumstances in the game where you could use him, particularly against certain teams. So you may be right. Maybe it's not, giving up a core piece, but maybe it's just adding another piece to the rotation. I know Silva was available tonight, but obviously he hasn't really played very much this season. So that's certainly a roster spot that could be moved out. I'm starting to come around on this, Greg. I do think that's probably where this is. I think the only thing I would say, and Tim Bontemp said this on the pod with Alex and I, very few buyout guys over the years have had positive effects. usually when a guy's bought out, there's a reason. The Mike Bibby experience, I think, hits home for Heat fans. But do you see anybody else potentially, Alex? I mean, we've talked about trades and the Rudy Gays of the world, the Thad Youngs of the world, where you have to actually give somebody up, maybe a Kendrick Nunn, which I don't know that you necessarily want to do now. Do you see another buyout candidate potentially?
Yeah, so obviously the one that's, the two that have been talked about the most, especially amongst Heat Twitter, is Blake Griffin, and now, like you're talking about, DeMarcus Cousins. I think both of them, like I said on another pod, are just probably, not great at this point. That's me being generous. I don't think they're very good players at this point. I would still give them a try. Like, I'm not above cutting Chris Silva. And, we're just talking about in a transactional what's the word I'm looking for? In a transactional sense, like, I think I'm fine with that, right? Letting go of Chris Silva to get one of those guys. I think another one that could come out that I think, if you could get a couple of these guys, I think that would be a W for them. I think that's a win. Like, if you can get Trevor Ariza, for example, who hasn't been playing for OKC, was dealing with personal issues there. And if he becomes available, I think that's somebody who didn't play well last year, did play well the year before, and could fill in some of those 4 minutes. And who knows, even if he plays well enough, you know, Spo will give him the starting lineup, even if it's a short minute role like Myers had. Like, I think that's, and maybe that's me, you know, coming up with scenarios, but I think, like, if you can get a couple of those guys for cheap, and especially with some of the, some of the avenues they have to adding players, I think that would probably be cool.
I also think that there's probably a handful of guys that we haven't even identified yet that will become mm-hmm. available, that you're going to see teams that are out of it eventually come to the point where they cut bait, and there's even, you know, an influx of buyout options that maybe aren't the biggest of names, but guys that could help the Heat. And I know, Ethan, you just mentioned that buyout candidates and them not necessarily being so fruitful, but let's not forget Joe Johnson, baby.
Well, until the playoffs.
Birdman.
Well, but Birdman wasn't a buyout candidate. Birdman was only available because of the issues that they had to investigate. Joe Johnson was terrific. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to pour cold water on this, but like, Joe Johnson was terrific until the playoffs, and then he fell off a cliff. But I get what you guys are saying. Look, here's the other thing. There are buyout candidates we haven't identified yet, because sometimes buyout candidates are players who are traded just to make deals work, and those deals haven't happened yet. So we don't really know who those guys are going to be beyond some of the ones we've talked about.
You know, the last name that was floated recently?
Mm-hmm.
How about Hassan Whiteside?
Okay, we're going to end right there. Make sure you check out bestever.com, BSTEVR.com. You won't be back tomorrow. Just kidding. Ubreakwheelfix.com. Again, use the code, mentioned 5 reasons. You'll get 15% off anything you do there. And of course, we talk about Prize Picks and MyBookie. We now have the same code for both. The code for both is 5, FIVE. MyBookie, I decided to play the under today, so those late Norman Powell free throws. Anyway, good win for the Heat. Have a good night.
Hassan Whiteside, Alex.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Regional Sports Network.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.